So here we are. This is the final sermon of our sermon series, Raise Your Praise, to elevate, to lift up, to praise God in a big way, to raise your expectation of praise, again, your level of praise. Why? Because God is good to us. And so here we are again. Thanksgiving Day is yet on the way. And across this great nation, people will gather together and to thank God for blessings. They'll be thankful for their family, for friends, for freedoms, for finances, and yes, of course, thankful for the food. Woe to the turkey on Thanksgiving Day. It's a good thing, y'all, to give thanks for the blessings that we have. But the most important thing for us who are believers is to know who we got to give our thanks to.
Yeah, yes, sir.
It's the New Testament writer James chapter 1, somewhere around verse 17. He says that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. In him there is no shadow of turning, nor variableness. That God does not change. The Jewish people, the Greco-Roman world, would have understood what that actually meant, that they saw light as good. And there is no one better than God. God is good, y'all. God, who is above the sun and the moon and the stars, and he stands amongst his people, and God has given us so many blessings. We have a reason to bless him and to praise him for all that he's done for us. But I have to ask myself this question. To what extent am I willing to send gratitude back up to the God that sends down blessings in my life? Is it possible, Reverend Mike Borkin, is it possible to give too much credit to God?
Absolutely.
I had a young person present me with this question some years ago. They said, why y'all always, you get a job? You know, something good happens in your life. Y'all always turning around and giving credit to God. Don't you give some credit to yourself? Well, I kind of pose a question like this. Listen, when you can put breath in your own body, you can give yourself some credit. Listen, when you can hold your own mind, you can give yourself some credit. But until then, I'm going to bless God. I'll give him all the credit. He deserves all the credit today. When it comes to giving thanks to God for everything he's done for me, I must admit, there are times when I'm lost for words. Have you ever tried to keep this nice, respectable, calm composure, but you just kept thinking about what God has done for you? And you could not maintain your composure. When was the last time you were willing? No, compelled by the knowledge of God's goodness and all that God has done for you to go beyond the formalities, y'all, to go beyond church traditions and worship and thanksgiving and go for broke for God. When was the last time you went broke for God? When was the last time you had a real ugly cry for God? Stop running down your face, hands lifted up, mouth opened up. When was the last time you danced before God? You shouted before God for all that God has done for you.
Amen.
And so today I want to introduce us to a common street woman. Let me see it. She was a prostitute. Her name is not given. And she wasn't trained in the fine arts of religious worship and all of that stuff, church traditions. To the religious aristocrats of the day, the uppity ups, her praise was ghetto.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I love about this woman. She was sincere. And she knew how to tell the Lord thank you for all that he had done for her. And her thanksgiving, her praise reaches the ears and the heart of Jesus himself. So this woman teaches us the necessity of going beyond superficial and surface expressions of gratitude to God. She shows us that gratitude should cost us something precious. Yeah. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, We'll read verses 36 through 50. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Yeah, right. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Yes. Then she kept kissing his feet. She kept kissing his feet. Some of us won't touch somebody else's feet. She kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman he is touching. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. He answered his thoughts, not what came out of his mouth. He answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. And go ahead, teacher. Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Let it marinate. Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt did. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed me with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiven sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I want to speak from the subject, radical thanksgiving. Radical thanksgiving. How extreme, how drastic, how thorough, and how complete is your praise to God? To what extent will you go to show gratitude to God for all that he's done for you? The gospel writer Luke, who happened to be a physician, writes meticulously about the life of Jesus. That Luke presents Jesus as human, as caring and compassionate. That Luke would say that he cared for the poor, for the oppressed, for those who were cast aside, that he cared for the Gentiles and for the Samaritans, and he cared for women. Luke has a lot to say about Jesus' role in women in his life and how he ministered to them. But this particular story opens with Jesus being invited to the house of a Pharisee, as we see in verse 36. And we find out in the text, y'all, that his name is Simon. Now we also find out from the text when we see Simon's responses to Jesus that listen, he didn't bring Jesus to the house, y'all, necessary to lavish love on him, to really appreciate him. But it was really to entrap Jesus, to accuse him of some crime. That the Pharisees, they just didn't care for Jesus. Jesus was going around doing Jesus stuff, y'all. He was healing the sick, raising the dead, that he spoke with authority, and they simply didn't like it. But Jesus knew that Judas would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Yet he still welcomed Judas into his life. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. Yet he was still one of his closest disciples. See, here's the thing I loved about Jesus. Jesus had a radical kind of love. Jesus could hang out with folk that had questionable motives, folk that didn't like them, and still carry out his ministry. Y'all not hearing me this morning. Yeah, because we start tripping, y'all, when folks side-eye us. When somebody was talking about me. We get all messed up, y'all, and we can't minister and do what God called us to do because we're concerned about what other people have to think and say about us. We have to be secure enough in our calling as believers that we can let people get close to us and not mess us up when they have questionable motives. Y'all hear me today? That folk can be close to you. They backstabbing you. They talking about you. They're putting you down. They have questionable motive. But listen, you can still love them. That's a radical kind of love. That's the love of Jesus. That because everybody needs some Jesus. Everybody needs to know God. And so if we push everybody away because, listen, they look down on us or they talk about us. Listen, I say that person might be your assignment. And so be careful of pushing people away. Jesus knows all about Simon, but he still goes to his house to have something to eat. Verse 37 through 38. Let me just walk through the text a little bit. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she bought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Alabaster, precious material, a soft stone that was precious in that day, often used to put perfume into its containers. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. This woman had a bad reputation, y'all. And here she goes to Simon's house. She hears that Jesus is going to be there. We don't know her name. We don't know her history. All the text really lets us know about this woman is that she was immoral, that she had a bad reputation. And so here she shows up at Simon's house. Now it would have been appropriate for Jesus to be there because Jesus was, in fact, a prophet, that Jesus was a great teacher of the law. And so it was common in that day that they would gather together in a house and they'd sit down. They'd have a fellowship meal together. And they would listen to the prophet. They would listen to the religious leader. They would have a discussion. And in that room, people would come by and they could sit around the walls of the room and listen in on what was taking place. They could watch as they had the fellowship meal together. So this was common. But y'all, for a prostitute to walk up into the house, to walk into the room, that's radical, y'all. That it makes no sense. What would it look like in this very moment? How would we respond if right through those doors, someone walked into this sanctuary and her skirt was short and she looked the part? How would we respond? How would we respond to that? Come on. How would you respond? So it took courage for this woman, y'all, to show up, and it reveals her desperation to get to Jesus. In her worship and thanksgiving, this woman was willing to surrender any dignity that she, if she had any dignity at all. That she comes in, y'all, I can't get over this text, y'all, and what she does. It's radical, y'all. It's radical praise to God that she knelt down behind his feet. Now, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? How do you kneel down behind somebody's feet? So in that day, the tables were quite low. And so when a person sat down, they could sit on one elbow, but their feet would be positioned behind them. And so that's how she kneels down behind him. And what she does, y'all, it's radical. It's phenomenal that her tears fell on his feet. Listen, she wept and the tears came down. And she took it, y'all, and she wiped it. She wiped his feet with her hair. It would not have been appropriate in that day for a woman to take down her hair for any reason. That was a cause for divorce. You don't do that in public. Right. But she lets her hair down and she wipes his feet. And then she pulls out the perfume, the alabaster jar and the perfume. She poured an expensive perfume. The name I probably couldn't pronounce. I've had the gracious opportunity, y'all, at least to walk through Neiman Marcus and places like that. And man, a perfume, I'm talking about $400, $500, $600 for a bottle of perfume. Come on now. What's wrong with Old Spice? But the Bible said it's a rare perfume. It's costly. It's expensive. Her pouring out perfume was like pouring out her praise to God. What does your praise cost that you give to God? Is it just anything? Is it just willy-nilly? Or do you pour out a precious praise like a perfume to God? Your praise is precious to God. So give it to him extensively. Pour it out in great amounts. Lavish it on him because he's worthy. Be radical in your praise of thanksgiving to God. Yes. And we just walking through the text, verses 39 through 40. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to him, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Be careful of the person that's next to you. What if you were rubbing elbows with them? If they were a sinner, would it be okay? I'm just putting it out there. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, talk to me. Simon replied again. Then Jesus told him his story. And I told y'all the story. And then it goes down to verse 43. Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash my feet, to dust off my feet. Listen, she dried my feet with her tears. You didn't give me a kiss, but listen, she had stopped kissing my feet. You neglected to show me courtesy of olive oil by anointing me. But listen, she poured out this sweet, rare perfume on me. Simon the Pharisee showed nothing but hatred and disdain for this woman. If that's not all, he doubted the authenticity of Jesus' office as a prophet. He was the prophet of prophets. But there's humor in the story because this is what Simon is saying. Now, if he really were a prophet, listen, he would have known from his prophetic office what kind of woman she was. And if he was really a prophet, y'all, he would know not to have anything to do with this woman. Yeah. But there's humor in the story because all the while, Jesus was reading Simon's mind. He read his thoughts. Not what came out of his mouth, but his thoughts. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus answered Simon's thoughts. And so Simon was concerned about what kind of woman this was. And he was concerned about if Jesus really was a prophet, what was he having anything to do with this woman? But Jesus was about to show Simon what kind of man Simon was. What do you do when the Lord shows you? When he shows you the real you. Not the church you, the one that's dressed up and looking all nice, you know, and hallelujah and praise God, but the you when folk cut you off on the highway. The you, come on, look at me, husbands and wives. When he gets on your nerves and she gets on your nerves, what do you do when God shows you that you? And so Jesus is about to show Simon himself. And so he tells a story. It's a story of forgiveness, y'all, but it's also a story about love. A man loaned money to two people, one a large sum and the other a small sum. Neither could repay the sum of money they owed, but both were forgiven. And who do you suppose loved him more after that? You think about that for a moment. You just get you a nice, beautiful house. And they're expensive in San Antonio now. Y'all know that, don't you? I remember back in the day, boy, for about 100, you could get you a nice house, y'all. Yeah, that crib would give you nothing. Not anymore. Come on, some of y'all bought some houses in the last few years. So you're in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. But imagine this for a minute. You just bought you a new house. You just bought you a new crib. And you've gone down there to the mortgage place, y'all, where you sign all of those documents, all those papers, all 5,500 of them. And you look at that bottom line. Well, listen, my original amount is this, but over the course of 20 or 30 years, I'm going to have to pay what? And you want to faint? Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But what would happen in that very moment if the loan person that just took your paper and just tore it all up?
Hallelujah.
Debt is paid. Paid in full. How would you react to something like that? Lord, let it happen to living faith. Let somebody walk up in here and say, listen, how much y'all owe? Debt paid. Oh, he can do it now. He can do it. He can do it. And here's Simon, y'all. Here's Simon. I suppose he acting all new. Let me think about it for a moment. I guess the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. And then here's where Jesus drops the bombshell. Ding, 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 ding. Simon, you are right. And now let me tell you a thing or two about this woman that you hate so much. You invited me to your house and you didn't offer me water to wash my feet. But she washed my feet with her tears. You didn't greet me with a holy kiss. But from that time on, she never stopped kissing my feet. You didn't offer me the tradition of olive oil to anoint my head. But listen, she anointed it with some Giorgio. She took some Versace. And she anointed my feet. Okay, some Tom Ford. Am I in the neighborhood? Y'all look at me and they're like, what's that? What's that? Y'all know what it is? Y'all know what it is? Simon, she showed me genuine love, and you did not. This woman's sins are forgiven. Her many sins are forgiven her as proof that she showed me love. A person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. Know that our love is not the cause of God's forgiveness. It's not the cause of Jesus' forgiveness. But it's the evidence.
Yes.
If we say that we love him, we will show it.
Yes.
We will show him.
Yes.
If we say that we love God, we'll treat each other right. Yes. Listen, God showed his great love at the cross. Therefore, our thanks for his love should be so radical, y'all, that it's expressed through our love for him and for other people.
Yes.
Love and forgiveness, y'all, they go hand in hand. They go together. So how can God forgive you of all the stuff that we've done and still bless us and still take care of us, still provide for us, still give us good things? He gives us a great Thanksgiving Day dinner and meal. And our mouths are full. Our bellies are full of food. But we walk around, y'all, with hatred in our hearts. There are folk that we won't speak to. That there are people that we'll look down on. People that we show contempt for. How do we sit down at Thanksgiving and give blessings to the blessor for all that he's done for us, but we look down on other people? How do we look up to him and say, thank you for the food, but thank you most of all for the forgiveness that you've given me, but we won't forgive folk for what they did to us, what they said to us? Listen, you may be sitting down at the Thanksgiving meal. If you're not careful, you might choke on that turkey bone. So be careful. And I need you to hear me this morning. Listen, if you're in disagreement with anybody, and this Thanksgiving Day, you're going to sit down at your Thanksgiving Day dinner and say, it's still all good. No, it's not good. That go to that person, and hear me when I say this. Sometimes, listen, you've done absolutely nothing wrong to someone, and you have to go to them and for the sake of the relationship and say, will you forgive me? You ain't done nothing wrong, but the relationship is more important. So assignment. Before I head towards Thanksgiving and sit down at that table, if I have issue with anyone, if anyone has hurt me or offended me, vice versa, I'll be the bigger person.
Yeah.
And I'll go to that person and I'll try to mend the relationship. Now, all you can do is your part. All you can do is your part. But will you be willing to do your part this Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah.
We have to drop some stuff, release some stuff, and let some stuff go, y'all. Be the bigger person. Find it, verses 49 through 50. Then the men at the table said amongst them, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Jesus says to you this morning, your trust in him, your faith in him, listen, your sins are forgiven. I don't know how that makes you feel. But man, just saying those words allow weights to drop off. Your sins, past, present, and future, for all time have been forgiven when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Now, this triggered the conversation, y'all, between the guests. The forgiveness of sins, it was divine prerogative. That this was a God thing. This was not a man thing. And so they said, well, who does he think he is? Who is this person that thinks he can forgive sins? But y'all notice something in the text? Jesus doesn't turn around and begin to have a conversation with them. That Jesus, he speaks to Simon while looking at the woman. You start reading down verses 43, 44, 45, 46. It says that he's looking at the woman, but he's addressing Simon. So when I get that picture, it's like this to me. Simon, as he addresses the woman. What she did for me, what you did, but he's not even looking in his presence. He's not looking in his way. It's like giving him the hand, y'all. That his interest was in the woman. Jesus never responds to them. Who do you think you are? Yeah, yeah. Jesus didn't try to justify himself. Yeah, but let me tell you who I am. Uh-oh. You know, I'm Jesus. Yeah. He didn't have that conversation with them. Listen, wisdom is justified by her children. Yeah. Wise people do wise things. Yeah. Jesus does Jesus things. He had no need to address them. That it was all about the woman in that moment. His care and his compassion was for her. Sometimes you just have to ignore certain people, y'all. That'll go a long way. Sometimes supernatural spirit, you just have to give people a hand, y'all. When people address you a certain way, what we say, like, just walk away. We have to learn how to just walk away. So sometimes you have to ignore certain people that they were asking, who do you think you are? Your faith has saved you, he said to the woman. This is important, y'all. Why is it so important? Because New Testament theology says this. Listen, that we're saved by faith through grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Jesus gave her a greater gift. She gives Jesus this gift of precious oil. She gives him the gift of a sweet fragrance and pouring out her praise on Jesus. But Jesus gives her the greater gift. And that greater gift, y'all, is the forgiveness of sins. If we have no other reason to praise God, then it's for the gift of Jesus and the forgiveness of sin. Jesus said to her, go in peace. And this is an important word, too. The word peace means both the absence of war and to be whole and complete. The woman came to Jesus at war within herself, y'all. But faith and forgiveness enabled her to end that war. The woman came broken, disjointed, incomplete, but she left whole and complete. She came with no peace on the inside, but she encountered Jesus, y'all, and she leaves with peace. And so we should be radical in our thanks for the peace that only God can give us. What do you say? How much do you give to the God who freed you from the war that took place inside of you? From the war of sin, from the struggles that you've had in your own head, in your heart. And by the power of God, you're now complete and whole in your relationship with him. The question is, how radical, how extreme, how thorough, and how complete is your praise and thanksgiving to God? The Thanksgiving Day is about, what, four days away. But to wait 4 days to give praise to God is far too long. Yeah. To wait 4 hours to give praise to God would be far too long. To wait 4 minutes to give praise to God would be far too long. Ain't nobody start praising God yet. To wait 4 seconds to give praise would be far too long. Is your gratitude to God so radical that you're willing to release some behaviors and some attitudes and some ways of being and some ways of thinking? At the close, I'm reminded of this. Many, many years ago, Hallmark, the greeting company, card company, adopted the slogan, "When you care enough to send the very best." When you have something you want to say but you don't know how to say it, let Hallmark say it for you. But I came to let y'all know something today. I don't need Hallmark to speak for me. I know too much about what God has done for me, and I can speak for myself. Do I have any witnesses in the house today that you have a hallelujah that you can release to God? You have a thank you, Jesus, that you can release to God. I don't need Hallmark to speak for me. I don't need mama to speak for me, daddy to speak for me. I know too much about what God has done for me. In this very moment, can you stand on your feet and tell God thank you for everything that he's done for you? Thank you for food in your mouth, clothes on your back, roof over your head. Can you praise God for what he's done for you? Can you praise him for what he has not done for you? Listen, y'all, listen. 10 lepers, y'all. 10 lepers. Yeah. 10 lepers. Yeah. They came before Jesus. 10 of them. Yeah. And they wanted to be healed. Yeah. Yeah. And so Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Yeah. On the way, the Bible says that they were all healed. But guess what? Only one of them returned to give praise to Jesus. Listen, I'm in the return line this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm in the return line. I came here this morning with the intent of giving praise to God for all that he's done for me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you bought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. I won't forget. How radical are you willing to be in your thanksgiving to God? If I don't see tomorrow, listen, I have a praise for God right now, right here, today. Tomorrow would be too long. God, we bless your name right now. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your grace, and your mercy, and your goodness towards us. You alone are worthy to be praised, oh God. We open up our mouths. We lift up our hands, and we thank you, oh God, for all that you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name that we magnify and lift up. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him your best praise. Come on, he's where he's been better than that. Oh, he's been better than that. What an awesome God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. He's a savior. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. He's an awesome and awesome God. Amen and amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your delivering power. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. We bow before heaven and earth, and we bless your name. Thank you for being here today, Holy Spirit. Where there is genuine and authentic praise, you are here. You reside in the hearts of your true worshipers and true believers. And it's not your desire that any should be lost, but all should come to the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this moment. Speak to the hearts of those that are here today that may not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Speak to the hearts of those that are in a saving relationship, that they know Jesus and the pardon of their sins, but they're not connected to a fellowship anywhere. Speak to our hearts this morning and remind us what the prophet Isaiah said, that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By stripes we heal. And we want to be like the one woman to pour out our praise to you, to give you our heart today and every day. So speak even now, O God, move by your Spirit, that someone would see you high and lifted up, that someone would see you and want to know what they need to do to be saved. And your word says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For you so loved the world, Father, that you gave your only son, that whosoever believes in you will not perish but have everlasting life. So again, Holy Spirit, draw them. Do what only you can do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.